thank God for his grace that's up on us this morning. Glory be to God. I want to thank God for my wife. No, I thank God for you publicly, sweetheart. You know, sometimes the pastor's wife is the least recognized person in the church. Because everybody think they pastors. Well, they should think. And matter of fact, I'm glad you think. Matter of fact, think like that right now. No, but I thank God for my wife, because I would not be who I am without that woman. So if y'all really like me, you better give her a hand of praise right now. Because I couldn't make it without her. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the gospel truth. I know you want to hear the Bible, but I'm going to tell you the gospel truth. I can't make it without that woman. All right. Now, I know every man in here feel like that about their wife. You just don't have the opportunity to say it. If you feel like that about your wife, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. You ain't going to get to say nothing. I just want to see you stand to your feet in recognition. Because you know what we're really saying? I recognize where my help come from. My help come from the Lord, but my help came from the Lord through my wife. Because I would not be the man I am today. I'm telling you, what God loves is the truth without my wife. Wives, give your husband a praise for standing up on your behalf. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. If you would stand to your feet, please. Yes. Matthew chapter 13. And I want to deal with where we got off at. We were dealing with some things, and I want to reopen it back up since I got a little time. And I don't want to want you to walk out of the presence of God without hearing what thus saith the Lord. In Matthew chapter 13, and let's begin at verse 51. When you get there, say amen. Amen. And let's read in unison together. And let's begin. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. Verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things of new and old. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the presence and the power that's able to change us. Father, I ask that you would bless the hearers, but most assuredly, God, bless the doers in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen. And amen. You may have your seats in the presence of our King. You know, we was talking and we was dealing with this series. You know, there's so much in this revelation of the kingdom of heaven. You can talk about this for a whole year. And I am going to try to talk about it for a whole year. I'm going to pull out all the oil that's up in here, because I want us to walk in such a understanding. Because see, that was the question that he asked them. But you know, like some of us, we answer the question without really having the real answer. Because he asked them, understand all this. And what did they say? Come on, somebody. And how did you understand it? And you just heard it. Because remember, I told you, I'm not responsible for what you hear. I'm only responsible for what I say. Because your hearing is based on the level of your understanding. So if I can't understand but so high, I can't be able to hear but so much. So in order to increase my understanding, I got to increase my information. So you enlarge yourself by the knowledge you take in. Come on, somebody. That's why we have to break this down to make it plain, so we don't just become in the church, we become the church. You know, it's a powerful thing when the church walks around talking the church, living the church, being the church, instead of just going to church. And then you go and live another whole life. You know, some people got three lives. Now, two is a real challenge. But you got some people that got three lives. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine how fickle, how schizo that could be? if you're walking around in three lives. You know you're a Christian, but you also know you still. Come on now, don't look at nobody else, because everybody else in here got some one or two lives. It's not like the cat. They got nine. I don't even know what, that's why he's running around. He don't even know who he is if he got nine lives and he's running like that. But what about the people that's just walking around? And you're trying to talk to them and it's like they gone. It's like, don't you hear me? They sitting up there spaced because they're not there. They're somewhere else. If you can get your life single to be where you are, you're a powerful person. Come on, somebody, hear me now. If you can get your life and the affairs of your life to be so balanced and you're so honest with yourself that you can be right where you're talking, that's a bad person. Because so many people live so many fictitious lifestyles that even though you're talking to them, they're not there. They're in the other location and in the other mindset. Oh, let me help you now. See, you, I told you, don't look at me like that. When you look at me with eyes of suspicion, you're going to make me qualify what I'm talking about. And then I got to become like Mr. Rogers. I got to come down in your neighborhood. I'm going to knock on your door. I'm going to ask you, is in there. Somebody in here going to talk to me today. Yeah. Somebody going to talk to me today, because I'm going to talk to you. See, yeah. You won't talk to me unless I talk to you. And then I just need a corresponding answer. But let's deal with, we was talking about, to terms, and this is understanding terms part two, because we began our last portion and I'm just going to recap it so we can go on, amen. But we started talking about the terms that we're using, because the parables, when Jesus came on the scene, this is what the vernacular that they were using in that time frame. So what Jesus did was he took what they understood and what they used and began to teach them according to their vernacular. You know, like you watch the movies of the kings and queens, and you know, remember I told you how they be talking to one another, thou art the fairest of the sea, and you be like, my God, what? But some of them be sounding real sharp, though. I like that dialogue. Them brothers be saying some stuff. I be like, hold up, Doc, play that again, man. I got to use that one. Because he be talking, and it sounds so eloquent. It sounds like he said something, but I don't even know what he talking about. But it was a parabolistic conversation lifestyle, so that's how they communicate with one another. And they walk around, duchess and kings, and so with that mindset, Jesus used the same concept, but he took it from a spiritual perspective. So that's how the parables became. And really, when Jesus started teaching the parables, they ceased to talk about parables, because none of them could communicate to such a level that Jesus was talking. Have you ever talked to somebody that they was just so above your conversation, you just shut up? Because you really realize, man, this doctor got it going on. Ain't no sense in me even trying to fascinate him or her. She's just, you know, you're on your job and one of the employees or the boss will come out, they come in and they just start talking like, and you be like, okay. But you know, prior to them coming, you was a thing. This is what I'm saying, and I'm trying to explain this, and you sound like you got it all, and then they came in the room and they took it to another level and you was like, okay, and everybody looking at you like, uh-huh, you know, like, get with that. And you got to sit up there and you like, I'm going to wait my turn. But they never let you back in. They just took control of the conversation and took it to the next level. So let's go right here. This is where we're dealing with the terms, and it's called an etymology of understanding. This is like the first mention. This is the reference, or this becomes the understanding of the terms that we're about to use. So God is showing us that these terms is what he began to use to communicate and demonstrate the will of God to the people of God. And we started off with talking about parables. Amen. I know you already remember it, so I'm just going to give it for those that was not here. But he's talking about the parables. And a parable is basically just a mental image of a short story or an illustration. So when you're hearing a parable, it's a mental image and it's trying to reveal a moral attitude. So when Jesus began to talk in parables, like here in Matthew chapter 13, there's seven different parables, and he's talking into parables. And now he's trying to get them to get a mental image of the words that he's saying. Bishop Jakes is about one of the baddest gentlemen I've seen who knows how to communicate with words, and he draw pictures and have, you know what I'm saying? That's an art. Come on, somebody. You got to recognize what tools people are using when you're communicating with them. But not only did he talk about the parables, but it was a moral attitude, or it was a religious principle that was trying to be established. Amen? And remember, I told you that there was three types of parables that can be used. You got the story type of parable. Remember, we went over, you got to get the tape because I don't want to go through all this so I can get finished with this. Remember, we were talking about in Judges chapter 9, and the tree was talking to the bramble. Come on, somebody. Now, you know, come on. Now, I'm talking, and the man started talking to me, and then all of a sudden, he started talking to a tree. What's wrong with you, Doc? Now I'm looking at him like, should I run? Should I grab my stuff? Give me my... If I'm talking to the businessman, he starts talking about trees and all that. Man, I don't want to do no business with you because I think something wrong with you, brother. Why is you talking to a tree when you're talking to me? I'm looking behind me. Well, no, he's using metaphoric terms, amen? And he's using parables to try to express a principle. You know how these used to people, when you talk to them, they talk in allegories. You know, let me make it simple. You know, when you was, and I use this a whole lot, I call it parallel. In order for me to communicate with somebody, sometimes I use the method of, let me talk about what you understand. So if you're a mechanic, I talk about an engine. If I take this out the engine and don't put the plug in, what's going on? Oh, I know. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about over here. Amen? So we use parables and metaphors to help communicate information. Well, this is what this was. So the one type is a story type. What he used the parables in a story form. But the other one is a sermon form. Come on, somebody. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Matter of fact, go to Judges chapter 9. Let me help you. Because I don't want to give you this without giving you Bible. Because we got some students in here. Amen. And everything that we talk about need to be expounded upon the word of God. Amen. So you can see that it's in your Bible. One of the things, you got to learn how to use your Bible. Yeah. Don't walk around with the Bible if you don't never use the Bible. And the Bible is such a powerful tool in your life because your life is hid in that Bible. And if you ever learn the wisdom of the Bible, you can live life. Amen. But it's when you try to live life without the Bible, you're guessing now. And I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute. Come on, somebody. But in Judges chapter 9, look at verse 7. And it says, And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of the Mount of Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. He said, now hearken unto me, that God may hearken unto you. Then he goes into this metaphor, verse 8. And the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, now here we go. You was talking to me, but that you don't went and start talking about trees. Now what did that got to do with me on 57th Street? You talking about the tree in front of my house? See, if you don't explain what's going on, and this is the worst thing that can happen if you find somebody trying to use revelation and don't have it. Because revelation is a part of insight. But if he haven't revealed it to you, you trying to use it and don't have it. So after you talk about the tree, you can't explain the tree, so you left me in the tree. Now I'm trying to get an understanding out of the tree. Amen? But if you can interpret the revelation, that's why they said even, and I won't mess with this, but that's why they said even when it comes to prophecy. Speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. If a person stands up and prophesy or speak in tongues, then there must be somebody that interpret the tongue. Because if they can't interpret, then you left us with an ikele de bo satan, ramba bo I. And I'm trying to figure, man, what the heck is wrong with this guy? So I need somebody to come behind and say, and the Spirit of the Lord, so it can be to my understanding. Because he said, understand thou this? If whatever we're doing, whatever we're learning, if it don't equate and end up at the end of a day with an understanding, you have misplaced time. Whoever you're talking to and dealing with, if it don't leave you with an understanding, then now I'm lost. I'm more messed up than before we started because now you done confused me. Amen? So when he started talking in verse 8, and he says, and the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honored God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree. Now here we go. Now he left the olive tree. Now he's talking to a And the tree said unto the fig tree. Now listen, watch this. You know, sometimes when even when you be talking, God pours out. Look at verse 9. Watch this. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man? So he's saying that there's some things that God has called me to do. If you bring this in the natural, and I'm going to leave this here, there are some people God has put them over things, and then some people try to take them and put them over something that they want them to do. So what he said is, should I leave the fatness? Should I leave what's working for me? Because see, I'm not anointed to do everything. Even as a pastor, every ministry and every need of the people is not for me to deal with. I got to learn my anointing, amen, and stick. This is how ministries get in trouble, trying to serve people that they don't have a grace to do. So now I'm out there trying to do this, that, and the other just because there's a need, and now my ministry is not growing because I'm out of my place. But there's a pastor down the street that's anointed to do that. They doing like there's some pastors that got a drug ministry. And their ministry is flourishing. People getting healed and delivered. But if you open up a drug ministry, that thing will tear your church up. Because you don't have nobody in there to deal with that. Amen? So he says, should I leave my fatness and go down there and deal with that? See, that's the understanding. Because somebody, a whole lot of people going to ask you to be this, do that, because they see your skills and talents. But you got to know, what did the Lord tell you to do? See, if you don't stay with where the Lord tell you and where it's prospering, you can jump over here and start doing something because it was a need, and now you out of the will. So do you understand the understanding of the parable? This is the purpose of him teaching, because he's trying to teach a principle, because they went and got a king which tried to put over them, but they already had a king. All right. But they didn't want to submit to the king that they had, so they go and get them another king. How many of us don't want to submit to God, so we go and serve something else? And then if you read the end of the pericope of this story, God tells them, you already had a king. And then the king tells them, before you even deal with me, what I'm going to do to you. I want your children. I want your wives. I want your prosperity. Now, if you want me to be king, you got to surrender all that. But because I don't want to serve God, I don't want to commit to the will of God, I give that up. It's a reasonable sacrifice. You say, well, Pastor, how can that deal with anything? Well, let's see by what we deal with. See, anything, you don't tell me by worship, because everybody worship. Everybody worship. I just need to know who you worship. Because, you know, the Bible says there's many gods, but there's only one capital G. But a God constitutes anybody you submit yourself and give allegiance to. So then that means the cigarette can be your, drinking can be your, I submit to it, I give myself to it, adultery can be my, pornography can be my, anything you submit yourself to, come on somebody, come on, let's preach it right now. So he said, understand thou this. See, when we submit ourselves to God, then you can resist the devil. Therefore, that thing don't become God in your life no more. Have anybody got rid of any gods lately? Come on, somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, don't act like you brand new, because I put the video on. And I put it on rewind, because I know you're going to tell me I don't never do that. No, I'm not going to worry about what you never. I'm going to show you what you already did. Let's go rewind. So we can understand what God's it is. Some of us don't even know we worship. All right. I ain't going to church. You already in church. That's what we down here doing. Oh, drink to me, Lord. Oh, we worshiping. In Proverbs, they talk about the sex. When you over there in all that filthiness, you worshiping. That's worship. It involves you giving yourself to. So don't talk to me about worship. I just need to know who you're going to worship. I know you're worshiping. My question is, who you worshiping? All right, come on, stay with me, stay with me. But now that was dealing with the story type. But in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, you're talking about the sermon type. Let's go there. But now let's talk about the symbol type. The symbol type, these are the three types. You got the sermon type, you got the story type, and you got the symbol type. When you see parables, they either come in from one of those angles. See, my job is to give you an understanding so you can interpret what you're reading. Have you ever opened up your Bible and didn't even know what was going on? See, it ain't that you can't read. I just don't understand what I'm reading. So it's no interest to me. But what if I did understand? Would I read more? Excuse me. Would I read more? Would I delight in it more? I believe we would. But let's look at this. That's Isaiah. I mean, the symbol is Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 15 through 22. You take that home for your study because I want to get a little further than that. Amen. So we got the three types, but let's talk about some other terms right before we get ready to do our right hand of fellowship. Let's talk about the fable. We understand the parable, but there's also fables. Amen? Come on, somebody. And a fable is a fictitious narrative of a statement as a legendary story of a supernatural happening. See, a lot of the stuff you got to be able to determine when you read your Bible, what's a parable, what's a fable? Because everything in there is not truth, but it's all truly stated. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Watch this. Every dog have three heads and 4 and 6 feet. Is that right? Huh? That's not right, is it? But is that what I said? So it's not the truth, but it was truly stated. So a lot of stuff you see in there, it's not truth in regards to the phenomena of the tree talking, but it was truly stated. So you got to be able to rightly divide. I told you I'm here to help you. I got to teach you. We can't keep coming to church and going away from the church and thinking that we ain't supposed to learn something. I need you to know how to handle this Bible. I need you to rightly divide it. So when somebody get to talking to you, see, there's a difference between the doctrine and the counsel. The doctrine is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The counsel of God is all the other epistles. That's the wisdom. So you got to know the difference between the doctrine versus the counsel. You got to know the difference between a proverb versus a promise. Come on, church, we got to do this Bible. If we don't challenge ourselves to learn it, we be talking about it's all good. No, it's not all good. You got to know how to distinguish what's good and what's God. So you got fables, amen? And the fables are just fictitious narratives or statements of legendary stories of supernatural happenings. It's a narrative intended to enforce a useful truth, especially one which animal speaks, like I just told you. So when you hear a narrative that's all behind all of it is trying to tell you a principle, but every story or every method is not the actual way it happens. So God is using these ways to communicate with us. If you just heard straight truth, all that would kind of throw a whole lot of people off because it would just be too hard. So he uses stories to capture our imagination to help expound or open up the revelation of the truth. Amen? I love him for that because the more you begin to understand how to, that's how you can go in there and take the tree story apart. Because he gives you the insight to have an understanding. Now the truth is there, the point is there, but you got to let him show you what he's talking about. That's why you study. That's why you pray, so he can reveal. It's called revelation. God reveals to you the mind of God. That's why he said it's been a mystery from this time, but unto you it has been revealed. Ain't you blessed? Give yourselves a hand to pray. See, once you see, if you bring the excitement back into the gospel, you don't mind living in the kingdom. But this becomes so dry and dull of folks that we don't want to do it. Therefore, you don't know how to live in the kingdom. You love God, but you can't live in the kingdom. Because you never understood the rules. So now we're walking around with badges on, but we're living like the world. And then it's the church, it's the pastor's responsibility to convert. Come on. If you got a good pastor, a good man or woman of God that's preaching that gospel, they know how to convert it into godliness. You ain't got bad people, you got misunderstood people. And people with a lack of understanding. Because the more you understand, the more you live. Nobody wants to stay where they at. I just don't know how to get out of where I'm at. That's what the preacher's job is, to help you get out. That's why they call, come on, help me right here. That's why they call it a pulpit in the book of Ezra. It's a raised platform. You know, every pulpit got to have several steps. And it's raised because my job is to pull you out the pit. If I'm a good pastor, I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you up, and I'm pulling you into what God has called you to be. You're the same person in the pit that can live in the palace. Oh, you better get with me up in here. See, it's time for us to put our work in. We got too many folks just shouting and hollering, and ain't got no. He said, understand thou this. You got to understand this. The more you understand, the more you can operate. So watch this. Come on, you got to stay with me, because I got to get it done. You say you got the fables, amen. But not only do you got the parables, you got the fables, you got what's called maxims. M-A-X-I-M, amen. Now, don't worry, I'm giving you terms that you can take home and learn. So when you open up your Bible, the Holy Spirit going to reveal this is that. But if you never had an understanding, you think all that is this. You never separated it. You just thought all that is this. But the more you have a clarity on it, the more you're able to utilize it and be able to expound on it, because you got to teach your children. You got to teach your wife. You got to teach yourself. Come on, somebody. Now go to Proverbs chapter 10. Are you getting anything? The Bible says, my people perish because of lack of. So that means if you had the knowledge, everything else is there. Proverbs chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Now, this is a maxim. A maxim is a general truth, a fundamental principle, or a rule of conduct. It's a proverbial saying. Amen? That's a maxim. Now, watch this. Proverbs chapter 10. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to go. Verse 1. And the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. Now that's a, come on, you trying to figure that out, but you know what? That's a maxim. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. It's a proverbial saying, but it's truth in there. And now what your job is to go and search out the truth. The nugget is there. You got to open it up and dig in it. Now, if somebody else walked up to you and said that, you'd be like, well, what are you talking about, man? You'd be like, come on, doc. Talk to me. You know, I had one brother. He said, man, talk to me straight. You just talk. Come on. Have you ever talked to somebody and they just didn't understand you? You know, like back in the street when, you know, folks had Game and Flavor. They run up on you and you don't even know nothing about none of that. And they be shooting and you be like, man, what is that doctor talking about? And they say, just don't worry about it, man. It's going to be all right. You're going to be all right, doc. Don't even trouble yourself. But look at the text. It says, treasures of wickedness profited nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, let's just work that since we're right here. Treasures of wickedness profited nothing. Now, treasures is those things that you hold dear to your heart, lifestyles, conducts, and practices that we have. So practices, lifestyle, and conduct of wickedness. Profiteth. Come on, y'all. It's in our Bible. We just got to take the time to let the Bible talk to us. Amen. But it says righteousness delivereth from death. Now, what you talking about, physical death? No. If you keep doing what you're doing, that's going to kill your marriage. It's going to kill your finances. It's going to kill your job. You don't go there and you keep acting like, or you go there high and think nobody don't see you, but you smell it. They smell you coming in the door because ain't nobody in the whole building smell like you. You know when the folks smoke weed and all that, they think nobody else know they smoking. But when you come in, if a person don't smoke, they smell you all the way downstairs. They can tell somebody even been through the hallway to smoke. Somebody in here been smoking weed. And they ain't even nowhere near you. Now you trying to, you know, 20 packs of gum. That don't take that away. They still smell you. Because nobody in here got that smell. Now, if you was in the weed house where everybody smelled like that, nobody would know the difference. All right. Yeah. That's all right. Y'all heard me that last one, didn't you? That's all right. So nobody know the difference. Amen. So this is where he's talking about the maximums. These are proverbial sayings. But once you go and discover, investigate the text, it gives you the nugget. See, insight can save your life. Insight, common sense can save your life and can save somebody else's life. Because some people don't live by revelation. They just live. Their whole life is on wide open. They have no barriers, no boundaries. It's like Samson. You know, there's no restrictions, no restraints, and there's no respect. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. Nobody can tell him what to do. And some people live like that. But somebody that got some wisdom and understanding can help save them. Amen? Because you can save them for something that's been to come down the line and kill them. Some things can literally kill you. Now, you ain't going to physically die, but you're going to experience the spirit of death. The Bible says the sting of death is sin, and the sin is the law. See, when we go and get involved into certain things, we get the sting of death. You ain't gone, but it felt like you left here. Come on, somebody. When it all got finished and judgment came down, you died. Or whatever you had died. And God's gracing us to get wisdom to save us from such a death. Amen. But not only do you have maximums, you got proverbs. Now, proverb is a conscious poem dealing with poignantly with a single thought or an event, and often ending in a provoking thought. It's witty or often paradoxical sayings that provide practical guidelines for everyday living. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, and then we're going to go ahead and do our. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm trying to give you enough to go home and study with. Amen. Because the more we understand. Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instructions. Boy, this is good to somebody. I'm going to give you this layout and I'm getting off right here. This is just enough for you. Let me just point it out to you. You can go home and do your own study, but I'm going to point them out. I'm going to hollow the points. I'm going to holler them out. I'm going to quote the text, but I'm going to holler the points. To know wisdom and instructions. Yeah. Because if you can get under, it says to know wisdom and instructions and to perceive words of understanding. See, you got to know instructions and understanding. It says to receive instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment. I'm telling you, but God Almighty, he says to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, that's 7 points. Look here. It's even if a young person learned how to operate the Bible, they are sharp. Because they're walking around with understanding and discretion, equity, justice, wisdom. You got grown folks that ain't walking around like that. They got knowledge, but they never knew how to implement it. They never understood it. And that's why some people are so mad. You got a master's degree and you still acting like. But they never learned wisdom. They never had understanding. They never knew how to convert it into practice. That's why we failing over and over. Because if I don't learn how to comply and convert what God, you already got the answer. Matter of fact, I told you, you are the answer. How can you be failing if you are the answer? Then it's indicative of you're not using the answer or you don't understand the answer. But grace be unto God that gives us the victory and causes us to triumph. See, God gives us the victory through his grace. Now we get a chance to come back and learn what we already know. Come on, somebody. We know the answer, but we got to go back and learn it and learn how to apply it. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, and our last three was a riddle coming out of Psalms 94, verse 4. An allegory coming out of Numbers chapter 24, verse 3. And a metaphor coming out of Psalms 1, verse 3 and 4. These are the different tools that the scripture or the Bible is written in. And once you can identify them, you're able to interpret the Bible. And then your last one is similitudes. Was coming out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. There are similitudes that we have that you have to know. This is similar to that. It's not that. That's why a lot of people read the Bible and they say, the Bible said. No, that's a similitude. He said it, but he was saying it's like. You read it and thought he said that's what it's like. No, he said it's like. So it's similar to. So it's not the law. It's like that. Is that good? God's going to bless us, y'all. God's going to bless us. Give the Lord a hand of praise.